We want to thank our sponsor, Great Western Bank, a proud supporter of Arizona Wildcats football. At Great Western Bank, they focus on serving family-owned businesses and their overall financial needs. Whether your company needs increased working capital, equipment, or SBA financing, purchasing or renovating a building or construction financing, they have the expertise to work through your specific financial needs. Visit the Great Western Bank branch on Campbell between Glenn and Fort Lowell or call 520-325-1135 to talk to any of the business bankers about your specific needs. Member FDIC.
From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
Hey, what's up? Welcome to the Wildcast post-game show here with Michael Lev. I'm Justin Spears. The Arizona Wildcats, we should call them the Gatos, celebrating Hispanic Heritage Month. They had a nice little Spanish touch to the scoreboard. The Gatos beating Osos de UCLA 20-17. Michael Lev, this was a very interesting game coming into this matchup because there's two
storylines. For a lot of reasons,
there's,
right?
There's two storylines. The biggest one, Khalil Tate missing tonight's game with a hamstring and an ankle injury, apparently, according to Kevin Sumlin, and also star running back J.J. Taylor. He was also out with injury. So two of Arizona's best offensive players, they missed tonight's game. Arizona, they were still able to pull off the win 20-17. It wasn't easy. It wasn't tough. And it actually went all the way down to one of the last plays of the game. Kevin Sumlin called timeout, iced the kicker. UCLA misses a 39-yard field goal. It's wide right, and Arizona starts off Pac-12 play 1-0. They're now 3-1 on the season. Michael Lev, what did you take away from tonight?
Yeah, well, the upshot of it is, as you mentioned, they're 1-0 in the Pac-12 South. One other team is 1-0 in the Pac-12 South. That would be Colorado.
Mm.
They play next week, and it's going to be a big mystery all week long. You know, is Khalil Tate going to be healthy and available to play in his return to Boulder, where, you know, his career was really launched? But as for tonight, his replacement, Grant Gunnell, did a great job, I thought, of running the offense, executing the plays. They had him pass the ball 44 times tonight, which is one shy of Khalil Tate's career high in a game. Khalil had passed more than 39 times, only that one time, 45. I think that was the USC game back in 2017. I'll have to look that up after the show here to make sure. But the point is, they were not reluctant at all to put the game on the shoulders of the true freshman from Texas. And he handled it well. There weren't a lot of moments where you felt like, you know, he was in over his head, where he seemed like he was nervous or he didn't know what he was doing. He was very in control. A lot of clutch, you know, third down conversions. I think, you know, he and Bam Smith hooked up a couple times for some huge passing plays in the second half. That play, it didn't lead to a score, but, you know, they had 3rd and 10 on their own 6 pretty late in the fourth quarter. He throws a back shoulder pass to Bam along the left sideline for a first down. That enabled them to move to about, you know, a couple plays later out to midfield, flip the field. UCLA had a long way to go, not a lot of time to do it, to try to, you know, tie the score or take the lead at the end. He passed for 352 yards, did not turn the ball over. You can't ask for much more from a freshman in the second game of his entire career.
Which is key right there. And Kevin Sumlin, you know, said in his post-game press conference, that was the one thing that they really appreciated about Grant was his poise, his maturity, even when the game got tough. And as he progressed throughout the game, there was no drop-off. He was pretty steady throughout the game. And, you know, Lev, you watched him play at St. Pius X in Houston.
Yeah.
A lot of what you saw tonight is pretty much what Grant Gunnell is used to. When he was in high school, you saw a lot of bubble screens, a lot of short passes. I mean, Grant Gunnell is the all-time passing yards leader in Texas high school football history. And I guarantee you a lot of those passes were probably 4 or 5 yards, these little tiny plays, and we saw that tonight.
Yeah, they started the game by running two consecutive what I call jet shovels. It's like the jet sweep, but you flip the ball forward to the receiver, so it's technically
easiest pass
a pass.
Ever.
The easiest, yeah. I mean, literally, like the distance from you to me. That's how far he's throwing the ball to Brian Castile on those plays. So it gets him into a little bit of a rhythm. He can calm down a little bit. Didn't have a ton of downfield throws, but did hit Bam Smith in stride for a 75-yard touchdown on their first play from scrimmage in the third quarter, which gave Arizona the lead, which they hadn't had in the first half. But, you know, you mentioned the poise. I talked about how he didn't turn the ball over. Kevin Sumlin said after the game, a couple keys to winning a close game. No turnovers, winning special teams. And we haven't been able to really say that much about Arizona this year, especially with the punting situation. But Matt Aragon had a really nice game today, averaged 47 yards per punt. I think he had three inside the 20. He had a 70-yard punt that bounded into the end zone, but still that's a net of 50. He pinned them down there pretty far.
And going into this game, he was averaging 35.
Yeah, and Arizona, as a result of all that, had a 9-yard advantage in average starting field position, which, you know, any football expert will tell you that's a big deal, especially in the Pac-12, especially when you're talking about the teams that are kind of in the middle class and maybe they're about equal, you know, give or take a turnover here or a big special teams play there. And most of those things worked in Arizona's advantage tonight.
You mentioned Bam Smith and his ability to get it done in the passing game. You know, 5 catches for 99 yards. He was Arizona's top wide receiver tonight. To think in a situation where you expect Arizona to throw the ball a lot more, who was it that emerged out of the group? It was a running back from Texas. A running back who is – where is he at on the depth chart? Because you got J.J. Taylor.
I would say number three, probably.
Three? Yeah. Okay, but for a third-string running back to step up in that kind of way, that was huge for Arizona. And you know, and it got me thinking about the potential out of this group. I mean, this group is probably Arizona's deepest position right now.
For sure.
Think about next year. What if J.J. Taylor does, in fact, decide to stay next year? Gary Brightwell still has another year left. Bam Smith is still going to be here. Michael Wiley, who got some early touches tonight, I mean, he's going to be back. And then we also got to look at the recruiting class. They have Jalen John, a guy from Oregon, who, you know, picked Arizona over some big-time schools. I mean, this group right here has a lot of potential, and the future is definitely bright.
Yeah, and they're finding ways to get them all involved. Yeah. Now, the problem you have sometimes when you have too many running backs is there just aren't enough touches to go around. Guys get disgruntled. They end up transferring. I saw this a lot when I was covering USC back in the day. They had so many good running backs that inevitably someone would be unhappy.
Yeah.
But they're finding ways to get everybody some touches. Nathan Tilford had a big run.
Didn't even mention Nathan Tilford.
In the first half today. They didn't use the 2-back set nearly as much as they had been with Khalil Tate. They were going a lot more to 4 wides. They went to empty backfield a lot. I thought one of the mistakes that Grant Gunnell actually made tonight was in one of those empty backfield situations. He held the ball too long. You know when you go empty, especially when you see a pressure look, that you have to get the ball out quick. He took a 9-yard sack down there at the other end. But not a lot of mistakes from the freshman. It was, you know, an errant pass here or there. There were a couple shots here to this corner of the end zone where if he puts a little more air under the ball, might have been a touchdown. But you don't expect perfection on your first time out. And it was, we talked about before the game, it was a very different looking Arizona offense. Talked about the pass attempts at the beginning of our show here. That's just not the style of game that they play with Khalil Tate. And it makes sense when you have someone like Khalil Tate that you're going to run more of those RPO type plays. You're going to get the quarterback involved as a runner. You're going to, and those plays lead to maybe more handoffs to running backs. This was more of a kind of old school, you know, Noel Mazzone, Brock Osweiler looking offense, right? I mean,
that's been
kind of the physical comparison for 6'6" Grant Gunnell to 6'7" Brock Osweiler. I know that your Arizona fans probably don't want to hear that, but that's the connection that's been made. Mazzone coached Osweiler. He sees a lot of similar traits in Grant Gunnell. I've made the comparison to Nick Foles in that they're both from Texas, both kind of mild-mannered fellows, and neither one of them's going to impress you like in a workout. You know, they're more gamers. They're more game guys who are going to impress you pads.
Well, when Foles, when he first got to Arizona, he didn't win the quarterback battle.
Yeah, I heard
in 2009.
I heard he wasn't a good practice player.
Yeah.
Which sounds crazy.
That's Super Bowl MVP. Yeah. Not a good practice player.
How about the defense, Justin? I mean, some early problems, but hey, they held a second straight opponent to under 20 points. I thought Tony Fields was just exceptional tonight. He was all over the place. They don't count quarterback pressures in the stats, but I had him with at least 2 of those. He had, I think, 10 tackles. He and Colin Schooler combined for 23 tackles between them. That's a little kind of old school-ish a little bit. Arizona, those two guys making plays.
And they feed off each other.
They
do. That's what Kevin Sumlin said. It's just whenever one person is really doing great, whenever if he's outperforming the other two, it kind of motivates the other guys, and you see them get amped up. You see them, you know, rally around, you know, the one guy that is shining, and it's kind of cool to see, you know, every week. We don't know which linebacker is going to step up. I mean, Colin Schooler, I mean, he's been the constant for the last, you know, few years for Arizona. But to see, you know, Tony Fields
and Anthony Pandy
now finally start to step up. I mean, Arizona and their linebacker group, it's amazing to see what they've been able to do. And it's really helped out getting to the quarterback. You know, the biggest question mark around this defense heading into this season was how are they going to pressure quarterbacks with their defensive line? Marcel Yates and, you know, the other defensive coaches, they've gotten tricky with how they blitz linebackers and how they pressure quarterbacks. And they struggled a little bit tonight because Dorian Thompson-Robinson is a dual-threat quarterback. They never faced a quarterback like him before. So, you know, when they're bringing linebackers, Dorian DTR, as you call him, mm-hmm. and others call him, he was able to slip away. And, you know, throughout the game, they eventually kind of limited that. And then, unfortunately, DTR had the ankle injury, which brought in the backup quarterback, and then that's when they were able to capitalize. Because the backup quarterback isn't as athletic as
right.
DTR.
Arizona definitely caught some breaks in this game. I think there was a favorable spot on a 4th-and-1 play that Gary Brightwell had. A lot of people on Twitter were kind of up in arms over that. But, hey, I said that's the Pac-12. You sort of expect a margin of error to a certain degree with the officials. So that was one. And then, of course, DTR going out of the game, you know, late in the third quarter.
That's huge.
Jalen Harris pressured him, landed on his ankle. He wasn't able to go the rest of the way. He was really hurting them with scrambles early in the game. As you mentioned, they were bringing some pressure with linebackers. That was creating some creases in the second level of the defense. Joshua Kelly did a lot of damage in this game, too. That guy is a load. He's really difficult to tackle. UCLA had over 200 yards rushing in this game. The total yards were 451 for Arizona and 445 for UCLA, which gives you, you know, some kind of inkling of how close this game really was. But going forward, I feel like winning these games is just going to give them more confidence. You know, Texas Tech isn't a great team. UCLA isn't a great team. But they did what they had to do to win. The defense is playing better, certainly, than it did at the start of the season. And they're showing that they can move the ball in different ways offensively. They don't have to rely on Khalil Tate being a Superman, you know, to put some points on the board.
So you compared Greg Gannell to Brock Osweiler.
Yeah.
Did you say this earlier? Does he look a little bit like Daniel Jones, the Giants quarterback?
Did you say that? Yes, I did say that. Yes.
Somebody said that on Twitter earlier
did they?
Today.
Okay.
So
yeah.
it's starting to catch on.
There's definitely a resemblance there. Yeah.
but moving forward, moving forward, Arizona has Colorado next week on the road. You'll be up there in Boulder. And like you said earlier, only two undefeated teams left in the Pac-12 South in terms of conference play, Colorado and Arizona. This is going to be a big game in Boulder. Kevin Sumlin says he doesn't know yet if Khalil Tate or J.J. Taylor is going to be ready to go. Regardless, I think Arizona is going to be feeling pretty confident about Grant Gannell and what he was able to do. But it's not easy to win on the road, especially for a true freshman.
No. And also, it sounded like, from listening to Kevin and the players talk about it, that, you know, these decisions not to play Khalil and J.J. weren't reached really until maybe yesterday.
Yeah.
So, you know, and J.J. dressed for the game today. So I don't think these are long-term situations. We don't know, though, whether they're going to be available next week. I think Khalil's going to be highly motivated to get back out there, in part because Grant Gannell did really well tonight. And in part because he's going back to Boulder, where he had that insane game as a sophomore, rushing for 327 yards and completing 12 of 13 passes.
And
the internet, you know, the internet just completely blew up that night. He followed it up last year with a 5-touchdown passing performance against Colorado. So he's really played his best ball against the Buffaloes, who I'm sure are kind of wishing that he'll just take his sweet old time. Maybe come back the following week against Washington.
All right, well, that's Michael Lev. I'm Justin Spears. Don't forget to download the Wildcaster app. It's free. You don't need a subscription to the Arizona Daily Star. You can get that on the App Store and Google Play. And also, make sure you follow us on Twitter and Facebook for all the best in-depth coverage of the Arizona Wildcats football team. Arizona beating UCLA 20-17. Wildcats got Colorado next week. Till then, we'll see you next time.